everyone doing today? Good, good, good. Y'all ready to receive the word? Y'all ready to watch a win today? Yes, yes. All you Chiefs fans, we're going to take up another offering for y'all. We've been talking about God's will. Following God's will, how do you know it's God's will for your life? And throughout Scripture, God uses some unlikely characters that we probably wouldn't use, but you know what? He's God. He can do whatever he wants. So if you have those people throughout your life that makes you want to think, can God really use me? Yeah, he can. He can. You don't have to keep doubting yourself. God can use you however way he sees fit. So even though you may have not have done it before, he can call you to start something new, speak a word into someone else's life, whatever it is, try to get to the place to where you say yes to him. And if you've been saying no, I can't do that, stop doubting yourself. Again, feed your faith, starve your doubts. Stop doubting yourself. God can use you any way he sees fit. See, it is important for us to yield our will to God, to yield ourselves to God. It's important for us to do that rather than the will of man. Man will sometimes lead you down the wrong path if his agenda is a selfish one. So you got to make sure when you're connecting with people that they have a kingdom-minded agenda. You know, people will say, leaders will always give that plan out to people to plan out. They'll give them the vision, but they won't ever give them the whole plan. They got to run with first of what they received. God doesn't always give you the whole plan and mapped out for your life and here it is. And well, there's going to be a whole bunch of storms going in your life and stuff like that. So you're just going to have to prepare for this. You're going to be like, yeah, I don't want to do this. There's no way I want to go through that. I have to go through that in order to get here. No, I'm good. But he doesn't give you the whole plan. And even we see that even with Jesus in the transfiguration, Jesus had 12 disciples around him. But you know what? When he went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, he only took three, Peter, James, and John. He revealed those things to him. And when he came down after that, he told them, don't tell anyone until I leave this place. So Jesus even didn't reveal his whole plan and what everything that was going down. I said, so sometimes that the Lord may reveal, will choose to reserve his word for you or the revelation of his word because you may not be ready to receive it. You probably won't be able to handle it. You may not be mature enough for it right now, but when you continue to operate in these steps and mature yourself in the things of God, he might reveal it to you now. Now I can tell you my full plan. I've heard testimonies about people. They spent many years in a ministry and God is finally saying after 30 years, well, now you're able to do what I've really truly called you to do. It's like, man, I did all this for nothing. I was in the wilderness for nothing. It's like, well, now you're able to receive it. Why? Because sometimes we have to grow up and stuff. So focus on your strengths. You hear people say, focus on your strengths. I say, absolutely, focus on your strengths. But give your weaknesses to God. See, the enemy walks around like a lion seeking whom he may devour you. He's going to try to devour you through those weaknesses, not your strengths. So let's dive into the word. If you got your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 9, verses 10. I'm just going to give you a little recap on Saul. This is Saul persecuting the church. Saul was leading the people down the wrong path because he believed what he was doing was actually right. But Saul had that religious spirit on him. A religious spirit will cause you to want to do harm to other people. It'll blind you so bad that it will cause you to do harm. And in the process, you're thinking that you're right in your own eyes. The Bible says that Saul was uttering threats and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. How many of you know that that's not the will of God for your life, for any of us? It's for you to go out and kill the Lord's followers, his believers. God isn't going to have you plan out evil in your heart towards another person, regardless of how slick of the tongue the enemy may use you to deceive or to seduce other people. In verse 2, it says he requested letters addressed to the synagogues. This is Acts chapter 9, verse 2. In Damascus and was asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any other followers. He wanted to bring back to Jerusalem as many people as he can and put them in chains. Whether you're in physical chains or spiritual chains, the enemy's job is to bind you up. It is his job to bind you up. Jesus is the one who does the setting free. That's how you know whether somebody's a disciple of Jesus Christ or a disciple of Satan. Satan want to bind you up. Jesus came to set you free. It's not that hard. God good, Satan evil, right? Now here's the thing. You may not live this life perfectly, but anyone who's hating on you for every little thing that you choose to do or just twisting what you say or do is under the influence of the flesh or the enemy. That's not God. God doesn't twist his word. He's going to give it to you straight. That's why it's sharper than any double-edged sword. That's why it will divide both joint and marrow. God's word is sharp. It is. It's not sugar-coated. It's not dulled down for us. I'm telling you. I said, you read the word, you begin reading the word, it's going to cause you to say, ouch. Truly. It's going to cause you to say, man, all right, Lord, you're right. I need to change that up. But when it gets filtered through the wrong spirit, it becomes dull and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do in your life. So you have to examine yourself these questions. Ask yourself these questions. Why am I doing this? And why am I? And what am I really after? What's the end result? Is it so that I may have more of what I want rather than what God wants for us or want for me? You may have heard the expression, talent and ability may get you to the top, but it takes character to keep you there. I don't agree with that. Look at our nation. Need I say more? Look at the world. Is good running it or evil? And they've been there for a long time. Doesn't take character. It takes a good group of people around you to keep you there. But see, the thing is that the Bible says that the king's heart is in the Lord's hands and he will turn it whichever way he wishes. See, God is the one who can set one up and take down another. So if people aren't there, I say, you pray them out of it. You pray them out of that situation or you pray for them to have that road to Damascus experience. Because one encounter with Jesus will change your whole life. Change your whole outlook. Change your whole perspective. Saul changed his whole perspective. He was dragging people out in verse 8, actually chapter 8, verse 3, I believe it says, it talked about, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. Again, the enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. That's what he's called to do. He's doing his job. The church needs to do theirs. Right? Come on. We on the same team. Whether y'all Bills fan or not, we on the same team. Come on. And here's the thing. I said, you know, I played hoops. I never wanted to get in my opponent's huddle. And I never wanted them to know what we were doing. Because... And here's the thing. This is what you have to, that's just the flesh. But even in the spirit, even if the enemy knows what you're doing, Jesus still said that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail. The enemy can know your plan and still not stop you because God's for you. He can know everything that you're getting ready to do to try to set up every obstacle in your life. He can't stop you, but what he can do is get you to stop you. Saul knew he was persecuting the way. He wasn't trying to hide that. People may try to get you arrested, try to get you in trouble with others. The thing is that they may not ever come out and say it, but it is because of your faith in Jesus. They were just honest about it. Saul was honest. I persecuted the way. This is what he says. I was the chief sinner. Some people, you may first face persecution, which is just basically harassment. Now, some may say, well, it's not because of my faith. It's not because I'm living a godly life. But you are facing it. Just not maybe to the degree that others may have faced it. True persecution is designed to disturb your peace and get you to live in fear because of your faith in Jesus. In Acts 9, chapter 10, it says this, now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision calling, Ananias, "Yes, Lord," he replied. See, Ananias was a person who had a good reputation among the brethren, a faithful follower and a servant of God. Ananias in Hebrew means the word Jehovah is gracious. So Saul described Ananias even in Acts chapter 22. It says that he was a godly man, deeply devoted to the law, and well regarded by all of the Jews in Damascus. So he had a pretty good reputation. So not only did Saul's reputation precede him, but Ananias' reputation preceded him as well. In verse 11, it says, "The Lord said, go over the straight street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now." See, here's the thing. I've seen some tough people in my life. I mean, this man was dragging people out of their houses. Got permission from the leaders to do all these things. Saul was pretty tough, pretty evil. But even the toughest man, here is a man that did all these things in one encounter with Jesus. Now he's over here praying to him. Don't think you're so tough that God can't get you on your knees. He's a good God. In verse 12, it says, "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem." You know, when God calls you to do something, you can rest in this right here. He already seen the end from the beginning. "No, I didn't know he was doing that. No, that's news to me. Really? Saul was doing all that stuff?" No, he knew that. It's one of the reasons why we pray, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Saul's reputation preceded him. "He will throw me in a jail if I do this. I have a good reputation among my family. I have a good reputation among my friends. I have a good reputation among the community, the church community. I can't do that." But if the Lord has called you to do it, you better do it. That's your choice. You still have that choice. But I guarantee you, you're going to be talked about. Ananias still being talked about. I'm not saying that the Bible is going to be rewritten or anything like that. But when God calls you to do something, it's going to be something great. It's going to be something extraordinary, not ordinary. We can do things in our own power, ordinary things, but God is the one who puts the extra on our ordinary. He's the one that puts the super on our natural. In Galatians 2:20 says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earth body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, I've heard many, many people, and I used to say this myself, there's no retirement in the Bible. I've heard that, and I believe it. There isn't. But you know what there is? Martyrdom. How did they stop preaching the gospel? They were preaching it so boldly that they faced persecution. They were thrown in jail. Some were crucified upside down, beheaded, stabbed. John died of old age. I mean, they were preaching it so boldly and demonstrating the power of God that the gates of hell was not able to come against the kingdom of God. When the kingdom of God is advancing, evil is going to do everything they can in order to stop you. I think that's one thing that we kind of get it wrong here in the United States, because we can get a little plush. We can get a little bougie with our faith. Be so bold enough for people are persecuting you. Now, I'm not talking about standing out on a street corner, hurling insults or what have you, preaching the gospel with a megaphone and stuff like that. I said, "Oh, look at, I'm being persecuted. I'm going at this." I said, no. I said, what Paul was doing, he was going into the homes and dragging people out. They were minding their own business. When you're living a life so freely for Christ and it scares the enemy, they're going to do everything they can in order to disturb your peace. Why? Because they're scared. They don't want the kingdom of God to advance. They don't want you to fulfill your call. They don't want Jesus in their life. You don't have to push that on them. It'll just disturb their demons. Sometimes you can just walk by people and say, boo. They're going to do everything they can in order to stop you. Evil never wants to give up its place of wickedness. When the church is advancing the way it should, the enemy will love nothing more than to stop what is going on. That's why Jesus said the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. There is no retirement in the body of Christ. You're absolutely right. You're 100%. But there is obedience. And that's one of the things that we have to understand is that we got to be obedient to what God has called us to do. But if it isn't your time, then it's not your time. So get up, because you got more work to do. Don't allow the naysayers to tell you no. Well, you don't need to be doing this anymore. You're too old. You shouldn't be doing that. You're not relevant. Say what? If you're preaching the word of God and you're preaching it boldly, the word of God is always relevant in every season. You don't have to do all the gimmicks and stuff. Light shows, laser. Can you imagine me coming down from the rafters with the on a? You seen those? That's crazy. That's man's ways, not God's. In verse 14, it says that, and he authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. Again, the religious leaders will allow this to happen. In verse 15, it says, but the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Regardless of what God has called us to do, he still wants us to trust him at his word. It will be scary at times. You may even face a lot of backlash at first until some start to see what he's doing through you. But it's important to say or stay the course. It's important to say what he says. It's important to do what he's telling you to do and leading you to do. In verse 17, it says, so Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at there. Yes. You mean to tell me that God used a lay member, a disciple, to lay hands on Saul and led him to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It helps. I would even go so far to say this. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you ain't a true disciple of Jesus. Guess what? He's going to equip his church, and he ain't going to equip you with nothing else. Well, I got this relationship. I said, so you ain't equipped with the Holy Spirit. You haven't received that. Guess what? You're a child of God, but you're not a disciple, because disciples will act just like Jesus. So disciple, I'm not saying you're going to do it perfectly, but you're going to walk in the authority that he's given you. You're going to walk with the boldness that he's given you. You're going to walk with the word coming out of your mouth and speaking it out. You're going to do these things as a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you can't do that without the help of the Holy Spirit. Do I have to? Why is that even a question? Do you want to be a disciple? When you are a disciple for Jesus, he makes sure that you are fully equipped to go into battle. You are fully equipped. You will have trouble in this world, but he wants us fully prepared. See, Jesus said, well, some people may talk about, you know, who's that? Osteen, the blessed. No. I think Robert Morris talked about the blessed life. Joel Osteen talked about, you know, living your best life or what have you. I said, well, they kind of preach against it because Jesus said that you will have trouble in this world. Jesus said you will have trouble in this world, but he didn't say, I come to give you trouble. He said, I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. So the things that you're experiencing, I said, listen, everybody in our life, we're going to have a Judas in our life regardless. You're going to, if you haven't had a Judas, just wait. They'll show up. But here's the reality. I'm talking about the abundant life. Jesus was surrounded more for those who were with him than that were against him. If you're surrounded with people, surrounded by people that are against you, get out of that. Why? They don't want to see you fulfill what God has called. Judas didn't want to see that. But if you're around more people that are against you than for you, leave. Why? That's not an abundant life. That's a toxic life. You want people around you that are for you. Doesn't mean that other people aren't going to challenge you. Doesn't mean that other people aren't going to correct you. Doesn't mean that other people won't rebuke you. You know, the Bible does say that an open rebuke is a whole lot better than secret love. He corrects with his word. And that correction ain't long and drawn out. He corrects lovingly with his word, but he isn't going to sugarcoat it. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on this road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't say the Lord Jesus has sent me to lay hands on you to regain your sight, preach the gospel to you and send you on your way. No, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you think Ananias was filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. You can't give out what you don't have. There's no evidence that Ananias had the Holy Spirit. You can't give out what you don't have. If you ain't got the Holy Spirit operating in you, you haven't received the filling of the Holy Spirit, how are you going to give it to somebody else? God's will for you is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it isn't children of God that carry that torch. It isn't the children of God that carries his word. It isn't the children of God that is going out and preaching the gospel boldly, what have you. It's the disciples. It's his disciples of Jesus. You all. Disciples. In verse 18, it says, instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. See, he was surrounded by some good people. You know it is God's will for your life when it lines up with his word based upon what he's already spoken to you as well. God's will, if God's will doesn't line up, God's will doesn't align with our will. There's certain things that's like certain things that we may want in our lives. And now we're over here saying, Lord, I've been praying, and I haven't received what I've got, what I wanted. How long have you prayed? Or how long have you been waiting? You don't have to pray over and over and over again. You just pray. He heard you the first time. But how long have you been waiting? Well, Lord, it's been a day. Okay, if you got a day faith, you ain't got to wait too long. But one thing has helped me, and you can use this if you want. If you're willing to wait forever, you won't have to wait too long. There's certain things that I've prayed that hasn't come to pass yet. But guess what? I haven't backed down from it. I know he hasn't told me no yet. Nope, you're not going to be able to receive that. It may take some growing in my part. It may take a little more maturity, but I already prayed it and believed it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe in the things that he says, he will have whatsoever he says. Pray that. Has it come to pass? In my heart it has. Now it's just all about the manifestation. And sometimes that's where people grow weary. They don't endure. They don't last. And they say, to heck with this. You don't have to go there. Why? Because he's already saw the end from the beginning. He's a faithful God. He's trustworthy. He's never backed down from his word. He is faithful to watch over his word to perform it. God exalts his word even above his own name. you can bet your top dollar. He's going to bring it to pass if your faith is in him. Again, in Romans 10:11, the Amplified Version talks about if you rely on him, if you trust in him, he'll never put you to shame and he will never disappoint. God will never disappoint you. So everything we do is still a choice in the matter. But steering our will to line up with God's will keeps us in obedience to the Father. God's will for you in 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says this, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Anybody any lazy teenagers or something? No. Encourage those who are timid. Take care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil. And one of the reasons why you don't do that is because in other verses, it says that evil will never leave your home. If you repay evil for evil, evil will never leave your home. You can blame everyone else, I said, but the reality of it is, if you're revengeful, evil will never, ever leave your home. But always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. He says, be thankful, and here's God's will for you. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Be thankful in all circumstances, but this is God's will. Having a thankful heart will help you live longer. Might even get you healed faster. Bring those promises a whole lot quicker. Those blessings, his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Sometimes you just want to just stop and go, okay, you can overtake me any day now because what I'm going through right now kind of sucks. Please. His will. That's for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't need that. Yeah, you do. I hear some people talking about tongues and stuff and all that. I was like, yeah, I just turn that off. Why? They don't know what they're saying. They're not even reading the word. Well, when you pray in tongues, you become unfruitful. No, it says when you pray in tongues, your mind becomes unfruitful. Not you become unfruitful. You're praying the perfect will of God over your life. Stop while you're behind. That's a beautiful thing. Why? Because these things are there to help edify the church. You don't need the laser shows. You don't need the big old gimmicks. You don't need to give away a car. You get a car. You get a car. You don't need to do all that. Where's the power? And he says the disciples went everywhere preaching, and Jesus was with them, confirming the word with the accompanied signs. Confirming. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when you're taking some luggage and you get some really nice luggage, it isn't just one thing. They're going to give you the travel case. They're going to give you the bag. I said, there's stuff that comes with it. I heard one preacher talk about, yeah, bread comes with this. Healing is the children's bread. It comes with it. My dad used to do barbecue. And I'm telling you, I'm some good barbecue too. Give you a slice of bread, put it in a cellophane wrapper or what have you, a plastic bag, a little Ziploc or what have you, and then my mom would have a slice of pound cake and put it on there. And that comes with every dinner. That bread and that pound cake come with every single dinner. And I'm telling you, when you're preaching the word and you're preaching it boldly, healing comes with it. It comes with it. And if all those other preachers ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing, God bless you. Get somewhere, sit down, and listen to those who have gone before you. because you don't need, I said, you're wasting all that money for all the little light shows, all the gimmicks, all the stage presence and everything else. And the only presence you need is the God's presence, the Holy Spirit. We got to get back to that. I understand people saying this. Well, it's going to be something new. God's going to do something new. Yeah, he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your children are going to prophesy. That doesn't change. You ain't got to force them. He's going to pour his spirit on all flesh in the last days. And we are in the last days. And every day that we see closer and closer, his spirit is still being poured out. He hasn't relinquished that. He hadn't shut up the heavens. In the last days, he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God's a good God. So if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is ask him, Lord, fill me. Fill me. Well, how do I know I'm not going to get a demon? Then how do I know God isn't going to give me something bad? Well, because God is better than us. And you wouldn't give something bad to your children if they asked you for it. There was one episode on the Cosby Show back in the day. I know he's taking a bad rap and all that stuff, but there was this one where Theo wanted a designer shirt, but he didn't have the money to get it. And so he had his sister. Sister's like, Denise's like, yeah, I can make it for you. And it was a Gordon Gartrell shirt, silk. She made something that was looking like a clown. I mean, it was like, he goes, I got it tucked into my socks. That's how long and out of shape and everything else. But if you ask the Lord for something, he's going to give it to you. According to his will, according to his word. He's not going to give you something evil. To where your eyes begin to roll up in the back of your dome and you're just convulsing because it's the power of the Holy Ghost. No, you can turn it on and off. Turn him on and off, just like a water fountain. When you begin praying in the Holy Spirit, you turn it on. You flip the switch and you can flip the switch off. You stop it. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with you. As soon as you begin praying, the Holy Spirit intercedes with you. But you got to make that leap. That's on you. And just like with Jesus, you can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit because he'll talk to you. He'll tell you things. He'll show you some things. You know, the wisdom of God, if it's from God, is pure and holy. So you don't have to be afraid of anything that God is going to give you. Or have you to do? He's actually for you. He's one of those good guys, good people, good fathers. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. Lord, we thank you that you are such a good, good Father, Lord. And Father God, if there's anyone here that wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father God, and they're open to that, fill them now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, fill them now. And if there's those who want a refilling of them, Lord, fill them now as well, Lord. We thank you for your precious Holy Ghost. And Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, before you leave, shake somebody's hand, give them a pound. If they're comfortable, give them a side hug or something like that. And enjoy your day. Continue pursuing God. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.